RC Podcast Discussions on Child and Youth Care, episode number 59, and Wolfgang Bachon. Today we're continuing to upload some of the presentations from the 20th Biennial South African National Association of Child Care Workers Conference that took place in June of 2015. Monica Sandvik-Nyland is a senior advisor with United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. Her portfolio focuses specifically on children. In her presentation, which I'm posting today, she gives a clear overview of what the UNHCR does, some of the challenges facing refugee children, and then discusses the South African Isibindi program as a possible model for working with children in refugee situations. For those not familiar with Isibindi, I posted a video about the program on cycpodcast.org in the July 2015 podcast, episode number 57. I hope you enjoy her presentation.
It's a great honor for me to be here today and speak on behalf of refugee children. I feel a little bit maybe embarrassed in one way because we've celebrated what NACCW has achieved during the last 40 years, and it's kind of a very cozy atmosphere. And now I have to turn your attention to another part of the world to discuss issues around refugee children. But in one way, I think that's a way to kind of see what you've achieved and see how it could be applied outside of this context. So let's look ahead. So I'm in a global function with the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. I'm here together with my colleague Anna, who's working in a regional function in Southern Africa. So I'm going to try to cover just a few issues about, you know, to give you a bit of a background on the refugee context, UNHCR and refugee children, and talk a little bit about how we've looked at Isibindi with great interest. And I think Dr. Don, you said in the beginning of the day about that there is no pain as great as not being wanted in your own country. And I think that speaks very, very well to the refugee context. For those of you who are maybe not so familiar with the UN context and UNHCR, I just want to flag that UNHCR was founded after the Second World War in 1950. We are mandated to lead international action to protect refugees and resolve refugee problems worldwide. So we work closely with governments in this endeavor. Refugees, there's a very kind of specific legal definition for refugees. It's a person who has left his or her country for a well-founded fear of persecution. So it's a little bit different from people who are migrating for economic reasons. So our mandate is limited to refugees. The data on refugees is really quite staggering, and I think every year around mid-June we have the World Refugee Day and we release new figures and statistics around refugees. The sad story is that this year we have about 14.4 million refugees that UNHCR is working with and also governments around the world. For us, it's particularly interesting to know that 51% of them are children. In the African context, we have many operations where actually this percentage is much higher. South Sudanese refugees have about 65% of children. Refugees also tend to stay for a long time. It's not a quick fix to refugee issues. The average time spent in displacement is about 17 years. So for us as child protection professionals, we know that that's a childhood. Another kind of really key feature is that 50% of refugees live in an urban context. UNHCR has been around since 1950s, but we've always worked with children. So working with children is nothing new for us. For example, some of you who are a bit older in the group here might remember the outflux of Vietnamese refugees in the 1970s in Southeast Asia, where a high number of unaccompanied children were part of that movement. Maybe a little bit closer to you is the situation of so-called lost boys of Sudan, in early 2000, when a high number of children were kind of fleeing from South Sudan and moving across that part of Africa. So our work has always been very much working with individual children rather than we do work upstream as well, but our work is really very much about working with individual children. So in these situations, our colleagues were really struggling in terms of finding frameworks into how to address the specific individual needs, protection needs of children. We've mentioned the best interest a few times here, so UNHCR was really quite instrumental, I would say, in terms of operationalizing the Article number 3 of the Convention of the Rights of the Child. So we have specific guidelines that tell us how we try to assess the best interest of the child. And it really kind of came from the huge need that we saw on the ground in terms of providing a framework for us in terms of how to address refugee children's needs. So what are some of the risks that our refugee children are facing? And I'm sure that the risk that children I work with are very similar to the issues that you are facing. But I thought we could just take a look on a few kind of headlines to get a flavor for the situation of refugee children. Home alone, South Sudan teenager leads her young siblings to safety in Uganda. So refugee children often have to take on responsibilities of adults at a very early stage. It often means the end of childhood for them. Young refugee sisters survive on wild grass as they trek to safety. They have often extreme experiences, but the refugee child's story is also a story about resilience. Brothers reunite with mothers after ordeal. Family separation is a key feature of the children that we work with. Many of them are separated from parents and families. Sometimes persecutions against children can take very extreme forms. I mean, we've seen situations where children are accused of witchcraft and therefore are kind of excluded from their societies and communities. And that is a very kind of often a child-specific form of persecution, like is also many other kind of harmful practices. So how are we addressing these kind of really dire child protection issues in our context? We have a global strategy on children, and they address six specific areas. They talk about the safety of children where they live, learn, and play, emphasizing child participation and children being actors and agents in their own protection. Refugee work is very much about refugee procedures. So having access to asylum procedures, these processes need to be child-friendly in order to actually be applicable to children. Legal documentation, birth registration is nothing that we take for granted for refugee children, but it is something that is very important for the future. Another area is also is to try to address the specific needs of those children who are in need of extra support. And a specific feature in refugee context is also the issue of durable solutions, trying to find solutions for the whole refugee community, but also for individual children among those. Some of our key approaches can be summarized in these four points. We see states as having the primary responsibility for protection of all children, very much in line with the Convention on the Rights of the Child. And UNHCR has a role in supporting states in doing so. We are very much committed, like the child protection community, in strengthening child protection systems, be that national systems or community-based systems. And children's and communities' participation is really key in that endeavor. So that's kind of the global framework and policies. But in our daily work, we see a number of challenges. The numbers is one thing. So if you're in an operation where 65% of the refugees are children, you're going to be very busy. Complexity of the issues that some of the children are facing. Again, maybe not so familiar or so shocking to this audience, but we see a range of issues. And the fact that they are non-nationals in a country will still just add to the complexity. Access to national child protection systems is also not given. Depends very much on the legal framework in the country and the availability of services. We've worked with community-based mechanisms like maybe the Isibindi model for many years, but we're struggling to really make it work and make it more systematic, to have a more standardized training and professionalize this part of our work. So why are we then looking at Isibindi? What appeals to us is that Isibindi is child-centered. That's, I think, has come out very well in many of the speeches this morning. The linkage that you've created in South Africa with the national child protection system, so Isibindi is not just a grassroots initiative, it is really connected to the bigger picture in South Africa. It's about, in our words, community-based protection. It's initiatives and solutions coming from the community. It is a way to address the gap that I just mentioned about professionalizing and expanding refugee childcare workers. The fact that it's a modular setup, so you can kind of start with the basic training, I never remember the acronym, the BCQ, something. The basic part is very appealing, and that it's standardized, it's tested and proven in your context. I find it really intriguing as well that you managed to kind of combine child protection interventions with livelihood opportunities, which is really key as well in a refugee context. But is it been the kind of the turnkey solution for the challenges that we are facing in refugee contexts? Yes and no, I would say. I think that there are a number of kind of realities in refugee settings that we need to consider. The right to work, for example. In Syria, for example, we've seen that many refugee children are working in the informal labor market because their parents cannot find work. They're not allowed to find kind of official employment. So therefore, children are kind of driven into child labor. The difference between urban and camp is also very, very significant. In some countries, governments are actually, their policy is about encampment, so all refugees need to stay in camps. UNHCR is trying to advocate for a more kind of nuanced approach to that, for refugees to also be able to choose their, where they want to stay, whether it's in an urban setting or in a camp. Again, in an urban situation, I think that you, through the ISIBINDE, have also tried to, you know, or are still learning around how to apply it in an urban context, because their just identification of children at risk is very much different from if you have kind of contained camp situation. The community, refugee community, is not a kind of a homogeneous population. It has several languages, religions, ethnic backgrounds, and so on, that needs to be taken into consideration. In many contexts, it's also a very mobile population. We see now, for example, if you see the headlines around crossings of the Mediterranean, the major populations crossing the Mediterranean are refugees. They are Eritreans and Syrians. Among them, again, very, very many children. So the potential workforce, if we talk about implementing ISIBINDE in a refugee context, we would look at recruiting refugee workers as child and youth care workers. They've all experienced personal loss and trauma. We had Seni visit a workshop that we did here six weeks ago with her colleagues, and I was very kind of, appealed by the idea also that you are doing in ISIBINDE about kind of healing the healer. The idea that since you are recruiting community-based childcare workers within the communities, they all have their own kind of trauma and experiences of loss, and that the program is built in such a way that you can also walk through your own wounds and so on in the past. I think that will be very important in a refugee context. Refugees, you know, the average time in displacement is about 17 years, where, you know, a lot of the services provided has been provided to them. And I think it's something, kind of a cardinal mistake of humanitarian actors is to make people dependent on aid, but that still is often the case. So often they are aid dependent and disempowered, therefore. Basic education, we will struggle to find people who have kind of a sufficient educational background and need to take that into consideration. At the same time, the potential workforce is also struggling to make their own ends meet on a daily basis for their own children and families. So then trying to extend beyond that and try to support other children is maybe sometimes asking a lot, but I think that ISIBINDE has been able to capture that. Then again, around the children, they are, you know, they've seen their families, kind of family dynamics change. Fathers who no longer can work, fathers who are disempowered because of that, mothers who are maybe bearing the brunt of the day of making the daily life progress. This affects the children as well. Of course, we see high levels of domestic violence in refugee situations as well. Children are also maybe sometimes more than adults able to adapt to the new culture. So they often find themselves kind of in a tension between their own culture and the new culture in the country that they've arrived in. And that often creates tension for children. Secondary education is certainly not something that is guaranteed for refugee children, and their future is uncertain in many respects. So when we're trying to think about translating ISIBINDE to a refugee context, these are all factors that we would need to take into consideration. So we've had discussions with Seni and her team in Isibindi, and are kind of hoping that we could do a pilot in Southern Africa to try how the Isibindi model would work in a refugee context. These would be the three tentative objectives. We would see it as a way to strengthen child protection services for refugee children and to see these services more professionalized. It would be a way to try to see how we can kind of link national child protection systems with these community-based mechanisms and to make sure that national child protection services are actually inclusive and non-discriminatory. It's also a way to see to create a stronger community-based child protection mechanisms which fosters resilience within the community. And this is really important for a refugee context to try to see it as a means to have communities find their own solutions. Some of the issues that the child and youth care workers would face in a refugee context are here. Again, probably not very strange for some of you. I would like to highlight maybe in particular the issue of disabilities, because we find often that children with disabilities are maybe the most vulnerable in refugee context. So this, I think, is a very promising model for working with children with disabilities as well. Children in child-headed households, children who are taking care of their younger siblings, is also a key feature in our work. The circle on the bottom there, it's talking about being a trusted adult. When we developed our child protection framework, we talked to around 300 refugee children in a number of countries. And one kind of common theme that came, even if we were on different continents, actually came across very strongly was the need to find a trusted adult. And I think that really is somehow the essence of the Isibindi model, that the Isibindi care, child and youth care workers become a trusted adult for children. So we are very keen to be part of Isibindi going international. Thank you.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast.
Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher.
Visit us online at cycpodcast.org.